Shall we bow our heads before we study God's word? Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you so much for this Sabbath day. And I pray that your Holy Spirit may touch our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that we can remain victorious through Jesus Christ. Thank you for your word and for the message that you have put upon my heart, that you are working in my life, that I share with your church, your people today. Please help me to be an instrument that my mind may be connected to heaven, that the message may be spoken this morning. And may your Holy Spirit convict our hearts to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Did any of you guys notice that there was a propane shortage? Kind of, sort of? No? Yes? I ran out of propane yesterday. I have a Paloma. And I'm thankful that the propane shortage ended yesterday. Would you notice if there was a rice shortage? Go to KTA, no more rice? Of course we would. We only notice a shortage when we see a need for that. When we see a need for propane or rice, we notice a shortage. We eat rice every day nearly, so we would notice. This morning, my sermon goal in presenting this message is for us to see the need of integrity in our lives and in our church. Do you notice an integrity shortage today? For those of you who don't know what integrity is, I'll read a Webster's Dictionary. Integrity is the entire unimpaired state of anything, particularly of the mind, moral soundness or purity, incorruptness, uprightness, honesty. Integrity comprehends the whole moral character, but has a special reference to uprightness in mutual dealings, transfer of property, and agencies for others. The Strong's definitions of integrity, the Strong's Concordance says it's innocence or uprightness. Daniel was a man of integrity. You read about Daniel in the Bible, Daniel chapter 6, verse 4. It says, "Then the presidents and the princes, they sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him." Another man who had integrity in the Bible was Job. Job chapter 2, verse 3. Bible says, "The Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him on the earth. Perfect and upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil, and still he holds fast his integrity." Escheweth means to turn away from evil. He had integrity that was mighty, that was strong, that was fortified, that was constant, consistent. That's what upholdeth means. You know, Job was going through lots of difficulties. He had every reason to not have integrity, right? I mean, besides that, his friends and his family ridiculed him, telling him to curse God, not to obey God. It was his wife who told him that. But he still had integrity. Is there a shortage of integrity today? A shortage of people who will stand for the right to be obedient to God. Do you notice it in the world today? I mean, I go to the grocery store and I'm in the checkout lane. I almost always have to flip around those magazines. You know, Job, he said, I make a covenant with my eyes that I would not think upon a maid. Job had integrity. Even Joseph. Remember the story of Joseph and Potiphar's wife? Joseph could have compromised, right? And easily given in to her seductions and committed adultery. But what did Joseph do? He got out of that situation. He ran. He booked it out of there. He did not linger in that situation. What did Joseph say? How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? That is integrity. How can me and you possess this kind of integrity today? You know, in the morning we wake up, our thoughts are just upon everything, right? Our mind wanders about what I have to do today or all the things I need to solve, the situations in my life. We need to focus our mind upon eternal themes in the morning. By doing this, thinking upon the plan of redemption, it strengthens our minds. It develops our character. Inspiration says that this is the foundation of how we can possess a firm, unswervingness to principle like Joseph had by dwelling upon eternal themes. We ask ourselves the question, do I have this kind of integrity? Do I have firm, unswervingness to principle? Spending time with God and meditating upon eternal themes helps develop this in us. That's something I need to do more, is spend time with God, just dwelling upon eternal themes in the morning. Integrity and righteousness are very similar in definition. Righteousness is purity of heart, rectitude of life, conformity of the heart and life to divine law. Or in other words, rectitude means rightness of principle or practice, uprightness of mind, exact conformity to truth or to the rules prescribed for moral conduct either by divine or human laws. In other words, in simplicity, righteousness is right doing. Do you remember a time when Abraham, he was pleading for Sodom and Gomorrah? That, Lord, if there be just 50 people who are righteous in this wicked city, will you spare the city? What did God say? Yes, I will spare the city. This is found in Genesis 18. And Abraham knew there was not 50, so he said, Lord, if there be 45, would you spare the city? And what did God say? Yes. But then Abraham knew there wasn't 45, so he dropped it down to 30. And then he dropped it down to 20. And then he dropped it down to 10. Lord, if there are 10 people, will you spare the city? He said, yes. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? They got destroyed. There was just a handful of people who made it out of that city. And like it was the wickedness back then, could you say that it is today? Especially the cities are very morally corrupt. It's sad to say that not only in the world, but sometimes even in our churches, I can see a lack of integrity to God's law. Many times we make light of God's commandments. As Christians, we are to uphold and live God's holy Ten Commandments, right? Patriarchs and Prophets, page 309, makes a comment on the Ninth Commandment. The Ninth Commandment says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 309, says, this precept forbids every effort to injure our neighbor's reputation by misrepresentation or evil surmising, by slander or tale-bearing. What is evil surmising? Evil surmising is when you suspect or imagine that a person is doing something wrong just based off little evidence. There's no true no true evidence to back you up. And then likewise, it goes along with slander, which ruins a person's reputation, and tale-bearing, which is lies. Sometimes whole lies come out from an accusation or a just observation. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. The Bible says, for he that will love life and see good days, how many of you guys love life and want to see good days? Listen to this counsel. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. You know, in a small church, gossip spreads like wildfire. And what happens every time you play with fire? Somebody's going to get burned. Somebody's going to get hurt. And I believe we as God's people need to search our hearts and come before God's throne and plead for his mercy. Ask God for the character of righteousness and integrity. Do you want to do that which is right? Which is good? I mean, I want to do what is right and good. This is what God requests of you and I. Not only God, but do you believe that the world is requesting people with integrity? There was a survey done in the business world, and they were asking leaders what is the number one character trait that they would want. It was integrity. Integrity was the character that was most sought for in leaders. I believe God is making an appeal for us as his people to have integrity. Education, page 57. The greatest want of the world is the want of men. Men who would not be bought or sold. Men who in their inmost souls are true and honest. Men who do not fear to call sin by its right name. Men whose conscience are as true to duty as the needle to the pole. Men who stand for the right, though the heavens fall. Will God's people stand for the right, though the heavens fall? Will God's young people stand for the right, though the heavens fall? You know, we all know the story of the three Hebrew boys. Those young boys were taken captive by King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And they were told in the book of Daniel, chapter 3, to worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar set up, to break God's law. That's straight out worshiping other gods and worshiping graven images. But they were true to principle. They did not want to break God's law, right? We can read Daniel chapter 3, verse 14 through 18. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, then brought these men before the king. Verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods or worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready, that what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from this burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Now, if you knew that God was going to help you in the situation that you're dealing with in your mind, whether to obey God or not, there's consequences involved, and you knew that God was going to deliver you out of that, would you obey God rather than break God's law? You knew God was going to deliver you, would you? Of course we would. But these men had integrity. Read verse 18. But if not, if God does not help us, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They were faithful to do right unto death. Job, he also said in chapter 27, verse 5 and 6, till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. You know, we face similar situations every day. And we daily have to decide to choose God and obey him, not compromise on principles, or to compromise and disobey God. We shouldn't choose to obey God just because of consequences. Like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were faithful despite the consequence. Oh, I'm going to obey God because I don't want this consequence to happen. That shouldn't even be an option. We should not obey God out of fear of consequences. Inspiration says, true Christian principle will not stop to weigh consequences. We should choose the right because it is right and leave the consequences with God. We should not follow impulse. What is impulse? Our feelings? Nor rely on the judgments of men, opinions of or decisions of others. But we should look to the revealed will of God and walk according to his definite commandment. No matter what circumstances may surround us, God will take care of the results. Isn't that beautiful? You know, one day, I'm teaching my friend about the Ten Commandments. And I read a quote from Patriarchs and Prophets. I was using it as a commentary to the study of the Ten Commandments. And we moved on to the commandment of thou shalt not steal and thou shalt not lie. And this really hit me. Listen to this quote. She comments, it demands strict integrity in the minutest details of the affairs of life. Strict integrity, strict honesty in the minutest details of the affairs of life. This really hit me hard for a good couple months. The Holy Spirit's been bothering me about this. I began to think about everything that I know that is right and began to see myself in situations where I were doing things that wasn't quite right. Many of you guys know that my wife and I are building our home up Ainaloa. And our plan was to build a 16 by 20 laundry room in the backyard. It's a laundry room storage. And a fairly decent sized two-bedroom house in the front yard. You know, my plan was like most people who don't have a lot of money. We're trying to build our home without taking out loans. And we want to build something small. You know, most people put up a shell, live in it, set up a temporary pool, set up some way to catch water, Maybe rent the porta potty. They're cheap nowadays, but make it livable. And it was going to live in that, save money on rent. And then we were going to eventually finish that laundry room storage and stay there until we have enough money to build a two-bedroom house. I mean, we're going to rough it a little while, we were thinking. But, you know, as a husband, I ask God, I pray with God, Lord, what do you want me to do to make the next step in making this plan successful? I mean, I already bought the temporary pole, I bought the wood, I bought the box, I'm learning how to put it together. Lord, what's the next step? Should I put it here? Should I install it? Okay, I know about some of these laws about Helco. You're not supposed to live off a temporary pole. Lord, what do you want me to do? One morning, I wake up 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. I go outside of the place that I'm renting. I walk outside, I see the stars, so beautiful. And I start casting all my cares upon the Lord. Father, what is the next step that you want me to do? You know what the Lord told me? A small, still voice in my conscience. Why don't you go to the county, ask them what is the next step that you would want me to do? I said, Lord, you know that my plan isn't quite legal. I can't tell them that I'm going to stay in there. So, the next morning I started writing all kind of questions to try to make it sound like I can get the answers without telling them what I'm going to do. The Lord told me, tell them straightforward your plan and they will tell you what to do. They're there to help you. I said, okay, Lord. I have my devotions. I go to the county building. I said, this is my plan. I'm building a laundry room storage. How do I finalize it? What's the steps I have to do? I said, no, you're supposed to finalize it first. They told me, you can't live in a laundry room storage. And I said, yeah, but this is my plan. I'm not going to live here forever. This is temporary. I'm trying to save money. I don't have money. I want to save money on rent. And you can't live in a laundry room storage. It's not a dwelling. In order to live there, you have to have a kitchen. You can't have a kitchen in there because you have a kitchen in the other house. Lord, what do I do, Lord? Tell them for advice. Okay, Lord? Okay, you're telling me that if I live in this laundry room storage, it is illegal. I'm breaking the law. I talked to the chief. He said, yes. I even went to the extent and said, if I'm a Christian, am I supposed to obey your laws? And he said, yes. I said, give me advice. What do I do then? Well, I have a couple options to change my laundry room storage into a dwelling, which requires a lot of expense for my drafter to redraw the plans, demolition the kitchen from the two-bedroom house, put it in the laundry room storage, which is going to turn into a living dwelling. After that's done, demolition the kitchen from there and put it into the other house. A lot of paperwork, a lot of extra finances, a lot more stress. Another option I had was to set up a farm. I'm blessed to live in Ainaloa, where it's an agriculture lot. I could start a farm, sell plants, and then all I got to say is that laundry room storage is a farm dwelling. As long as I spend 8 hours working on the farm a week, it's fine, it's legal. I don't even have to make money off it. Then I could have 2 kitchens. But, you know, this bothered me because have you ever felt like you want things now? It's like, I got to wait longer, Lord, to move in now. More expenses to do what is right. I was stressing out, God, do you really want me to do all this? I look like a fool walking in here telling them I want to obey the law. Because when I talk to them, all the employees tell me this. You can do what you want to do. It's your property. You know, they tell me like, just technically, officially, that's what it says, but only if your neighbor complains. I mean, Am I supposed to follow and obey God and have integrity in this situation? This is a big situation for me. I went outside the county. Right when I step out of their door, the Lord told me, Kevin, why are you allowing this to give you stress? You're only doing what is right. You're only doing what all of heaven does, which is obey my laws. Have peace. Don't let this bother you. I remember reading a quote that morning from this book, True to Principle, by Samuel Pippin. It's a very powerful book. An adherence to the strictest principles of truth will frequently cause present inconveniences and may even involve temporal loss. But it will increase the reward in the future life. I got encouragement by that. I don't care what happens. God's going to help me. My friends, is God speaking to your heart to do what is right? To have integrity in the smallest areas of your life? In my own strength, I cannot do this. I want to take the easy way out. God, please give me integrity. It's only with Christ that we can obtain and maintain and uphold integrity. You know, David, he was considered a man of integrity. Did you know that? 1 Kings 9:4, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked in integrity of heart and uprightness, doesn't that sound like what we're talking about? Doing all that I have commanded thee, I will keep my statutes and judgment. David had integrity. But you remember the story of David and Bathsheba? He ended up losing his integrity. He ended up breaking God's law. And what did David say? David said in Psalms 41, verse 12, and as for me, thou upholdeth me mine integrity. God is the one who supplies integrity in David's life. When we are short of integrity, we must come to Christ and ask him to put that character trait in our hearts. What was David's personal prayer to God? Psalms 51. He cries out, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart. If we desire to have integrity when we don't have it, we must come to Christ also like David. If you desire that, number one, we must first boldly come to the throne of God where righteousness dwells. Number two, we must ask God for that character. And surrender our character to God. Lord, what would you have me to do? Okay, Lord, you're telling me to be more honest in this situation. Help me to be more honest, God. Help me change my heart so that I love to be honest. Having integrity is not the result of accident. Inspiration says a noble character is the result of self-discipline, of the subjection of the lower to the higher nature, the surrender of self for the service of love to God and man. Education, page 57. We're not born with integrity. It is developed through daily choices. I begin to be so stressed out in my mind because I'm reasoning whether I'm going to do things the legal way or whether I'm going to do things the easy way. And all this tension, all this stress. You know what? Listen to this. We struggle daily with situations that demand decisions between what we want to do and what we ought to do. Integrity establishes the ground rules for resolving these tensions. You know, I'm not going to bother with that stress because integrity says do it the legal way. And that's it. No more tension. It determines who we are and how we will respond before the conflict appears. When I fully surrender my will to God, Lord, I will do what you want me to do instead of what I want to do. It's almost like God has said, peace, be still. I felt that peace. I felt like, okay, I got to put the plumbing, the electrical, septic tank, water tank, slap in some electric, call the inspector, finalize everything. That's all I got to do. It's that simple. I just don't have the money. That's the problem. But I left the results with God. I don't know all the changes, exactly how much more money I got to spend. I know it's going to be quite a more money. However, if I need more money, will God supply me more money? But even if he doesn't, Proverbs 19:1. Read that verse. Proverbs 19:1. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity. God is too wise to err. He is too good to withhold any good thing from his saints that walk uprightly. Let's turn back to Daniel. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 23. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stood for principles despite the pressure, despite the stress. Daniel 3:23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. You know, we may have to suffer when we decide to obey God. Do you know that? I had to suffer for 9 whole months before I could kiss my beautiful bride for the first time on our wedding day. I mean, for a man not to be able to kiss such a beautiful creature of God, that takes divine strength and integrity. What did the three Hebrew boys do? Verse 24, then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished. They went into the fire, and then he was astonished. And he rose up in haste and spake and said to the counselors, didn't we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said to the king, true, O king. You know, King Nebuchadnezzar, he looked into the fire and he answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Was God in the midst of their trial, at their suffering that they was going through? God helped them. Evangelism, page 240 says, God has promised to care for those who obey his commandments. Christ's presence was in the midst of them. Adventist Home, page 28, says the presence of Christ alone can make men and women happy. Do you desire God's presence? I want to make an appeal to us as God's people. Number one, that we search our hearts and seek the grace and mercy of God at his throne. Number two, that we spend more time contemplating eternal themes, especially in the morning. This helps develop integrity. Number three, Acts 5:29. Acts 5:29. That we ought to obey God rather than man. To exercise, to choose right, even when our feelings, even when our friends, even when our family, our pastors, maybe even our church tells us otherwise. Messages to Young People, page 80. This is a powerful quote, a very heavy quote. Messages to Young People, page 80. Choose poverty, reproach, separation from friends, or any suffering rather than to defile the soul with sin. Death before dishonor or transgression of God's law should be the motto of every Christian. I'm going to read that again. Choose poverty, reproach, separation from friends, or any suffering rather than to defile the soul with sin. Death before dishonor or the transgression of God's law should be the motto of every Christian. You know, the world also wants integrity. I think it was what? The Marines? What's their slogan? Is it Semper Fi? Or is that the Navy? Semper Fi? To be faithful? You know, I'm not there yet. I can't say that I will be faithful unto death. But I do know that Revelation 2:10 says, if I do, I will receive the crown of life. I want to make another appeal. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. It says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is also unjust in the much. Will you begin to be faithful and just the little things that God reveals to you. Just the little things. Our closing song this morning is 567. Have thy own way, Lord.